Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you. My buddy John, engineering and producing our program. We are off and running. It's Tuesday. It's the third day of October 2023. Hope your week is off to a pretty good start. We're in the green thing. Zocalo Village Studio. The radio station is 1030 KVOI. The place for live local talk, the trusted voice in Tucson. Our live line is presented by our friends at Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. Of course, BuckmasterShow.com for all of our live streaming of the program, and then the podcasts of all of our programs. Pretty much every program, I'd say 99%. Of the programs we have done since January of 2011 are posted at BuckmasterShow.com. Let's go now on the live line. Courtney Sloniker is the executive director of the Southern Arizona chapter of the American Red Cross. Hey, Courtney, how are you?
Hello, good afternoon, Bill. Thanks so much for having me back on.
Well, at least once a quarter, we like to check in with you and kind of bring the awareness, kind of get an awareness up to date, kind of take the temperature of where we are with blood donations here in Southern Arizona. How are we doing right now, Courtney?
Yeah, I'm so glad you asked, Phil, about blood donations, as it's a constant need throughout the year. And we did go on a blood appeal, meaning that we did have a blood shortage coming out of those summer months. And that's not totally abnormal. We do see blood shortages typically in the summer time frames and right around those holiday giving times, Thanksgiving, Christmas, because, you know, people are busy. You got a lot of competing priorities, but the need for blood is constant, and that's why, you know, you'll hear the Red Cross and blood banks across the country, you know, really talking about the need to donate regularly, every 56 days if you can, donate whole blood, and about every 2 weeks if you're donating platelets.
Yeah, I was thinking about you and the wonderful work that you and the team do at the local chapter of the American Red Cross. As many people know, I lost Anne in August, and she was one of nearly 2 million people diagnosed with cancer in this country every year. And many of those people, like Anne, received a blood donation. And it didn't save her life, but it extended her life a couple of days anyway. So we were all able to be with her and say our goodbyes. And I was just thinking about that person who had donated that blood that went into Anne. And right now, I just like to say thank you to the people that do make these donations. They really are giving a lot, and they're making a huge difference, Courtney.
You know, Bill, I'm so grateful you shared your personal story, and our sincere condolences for you and everyone that loved Anne. And you're absolutely right. You know, when you give that donation, you might not know or see the person or the family that you're impacting. But like you said, I mean, it is life-changing, whether that is to save a life or to extend a life. You just really don't know who that recipient is going to be, where they're at in their life, where their family's at. And I can't imagine just a better way to give back to the community. You know, there's many ways that you can give back to the community. I think this is one of the most intimate ways that we can show our neighbors and show our community that we care. So, again, thank you so much. And for everyone that's battling cancer or battling other type of blood disorders or just trauma, those are the people that we're giving blood for. And it's I think, imperative that we keep that top of mind when you're considering canceling that blood donation or not even making it. You know, Bill, you just put a name and a face to someone that we can all relate to and people that we love, you know?
Yeah, and the blood is needed for folks going through chemotherapy. And I don't think a lot of people understand the need for the blood and the chemo connection. But sometimes people are going to need a blood transfusion almost daily if they are doing chemotherapy. So taken from me, it may not feel like it affects you right now, but anything can change. And really, the blood needs to be given to people taking chemo. And I didn't realize that, Courtney.
Yeah, and, you know, when you talk about that, Bill, it reminds me, you know, blood has a shelf life. Platelets have a 5-day shelf life. And typically, for our patients that are going through cancer treatment, you know, they need platelets. And that's a 5-day shelf life, meaning we need a lot of donors to donate often, donate regularly, to replenish that supply so that there's always an availability of platelets when a patient needs them. And whole blood, you know, your red blood cells also have a shelf life. They're good for about 42 days. And so, you know, platelets and whole blood are perishable products, and they cannot be, you know, manufactured. They have to be given by a donor. And so just keep that in mind when you're thinking about those donations, because they do have a shelf life, and every blood bank across the country is working to ensure that patients have the products they need when they need it. And that is solely reliant on our donors giving regularly. And it's 6 times a year. I mean, what an investment of your time, an hour of your time to maintain a stable blood supply in the United States. I can't think of a better way to contribute.
We're speaking with Courtney Slonaker. Courtney is the executive director of the Southern Arizona chapter of the American Red Cross. And Courtney, you do serve a wide range of people really through and hospitals throughout Southern Arizona, correct?
Yes. Yeah, so we provide 90% of Southern Arizona's blood supply. So if you're visiting any one of our, you know, major hospital networks or even some of our rural hospitals, they are being supported by blood that we collect here in Southern Arizona and blood that's collected across the country. So we're a part of a national blood bank, and we'll move blood inventory around as needed to meet the need. So if, you know, if we were to experience some type of mass fatality or casualty event, you know, we will fly the blood where it's needed most. And that's the beauty of the American Red Cross, is the blood will go wherever it's needed, meaning that we support our local hospitals, but we'll also support those around the country in need.
All right. Before we let you go, Courtney, let's talk about specifics. I know you have a bank of regular donors, but let's try to get some people interested that may have never given blood before. What are the specifics, Courtney Slonaker?
Yes. So if you've never given blood before and you're not sure if you're eligible, there's a couple criteria. First, you got to be healthy on the day of your donation. That's the most basic. You got to be feeling good. And there are certain height and weight requirements. But the best thing to do, if you have questions, you can go to 1-800. You can call, 1-800-RED-CROSS and talk to a dedicated person that can talk to you about eligibility. And we can even book your blood donation appointment right there for you. We'll find the blood drive that's closest to you and that works in your schedule. But if you have specific eligibility questions, maybe you're taking a certain medication, maybe you just recently traveled, or you got a tattoo, some of these things that, you know, over the years, some of the policies have changed for eligibility, go to redcrossblood.org. You can look at our FAQs and get a lot of your eligibility questions answered that way. So again, can call us 1-800-RED-CROSS, or you can go to redcrossblood.org and get those eligibility questions answered. You can also download that Red Cross Blood Donor app. It's totally free, and it's a really cool app. You can look up blood drives using your zip code, book yourself an appointment, and then it actually tracks your blood journey. So it'll let you know when your blood has been processed, when it's been tested, and when it's on its way to a hospital. So a pretty gratifying experience to just watch how your blood is making an impact, and it's all tracked right there in that blood donor app.
Anything, final words you'd like to leave with our listeners?
I would love to just, like you said, Bill, thank everyone that's rolled up a sleeve and given generously of their blood or their platelets. But also, if you're not eligible to donate, there's other ways that you can still support our biomedical mission to provide life-saving blood products to patients in need. You can volunteer at our blood drive. You can even host your own blood drive. So reach out to us, 1-800-RED-CROSS, or you can go to redcrossblood.org. And just remember, there's many ways that you can give back and be a part of that life-saving mission, and sharing our gratitude to all of you.
Well, again, thank you for everything you do, Courtney Slonaker. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Bill. Have a great day.
All right. The Buckmaster Show wants to talk a little bit about my favorite bakery. And I'm always ready to talk about Mona's Danish Bakery, the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Mona's open right now for lunch. We probably don't talk enough about lunch. We're always talking about breakfast. Well, their pastries and coffee and those signature breakfasts are kind of what made Mona's famous. But they have a great lunch as well. They're at the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise, open at 6:30 in the morning. They do take Monday off, but they're there Tuesday through Sunday. They deserve a Monday off after usually a very big weekend. Check out their website. It's monasdanishbakery.com. Shelley Fishman is with me in studio, and don't tell me, yes, another thumbs down. Well, it's Tuesday at about 12:20, too many thumbs down at that time. Be right back with Shelley. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan includes roadway, transit, pedestrian, bicycle, and many other transportation improvements across the region. Pima County voters approved the plan in 2006, and the RTA is working with the Citizens Advisory Committee to prepare and present a new draft plan to the RTA board by December. Sign up at rtanext.com for updates.
Family-owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com. Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
This is Kate Delaney. Tune in later tonight as we talk about everything that happened throughout your day. Tonight at 10 on 1030 KVOI, The Voice.
Shelley Fishman is a financial consultant in private practice in Tucson, Arizona. The views expressed during this segment are his own and don't necessarily represent those of this station or of Bill Buckmaster Communications. Contact Shelley through buckmastershow.com or at shelleyfishman.com.
And here he is for his Tuesday visit at 12:20. Shelley Fishman. Shell, how you doing?
I'm doing just miserably today. Thank you very much. I would like to change the day of our of my appearance on your show.
Change it to Saturdays. Saturday would be very good because the market's not open.
So let's talk about movies or something. You know.
Movies. Well, you been to any?
Yeah. Actually, okay, we're back on finance. There's a movie that is currently playing called Dumb Money.
Dumb Money.
Dumb Money. Dumb Money is the kind of the street name for private investors rather than institutional investors. The idea being that individual investors couldn't possibly know what they're doing, so the money that they invest is dumb money. It is, you have to be able to ignore profanity. It is a very profane movie. But it also gives you a lot of insight into, you know, how manipulations can happen on the street and why there are good guys and bad guys and they're not necessarily so easy to identify. So I'm plugging a movie today.
So, but it sounds like you liked it.
Oh, I did. I came away very surprised thinking that this was just going to be a kind of a cheap adrenaline shot. Mm. And it turned out to be well worth, you know, the 2 hours.
I did not know about that term, dumb money.
Dumb money.
Learn something every day. That's why I do this program. And I guess I'm learning today that there's something going on in the market that apparently investors and brokers don't like.
Yeah, it's called havoc in Washington. So you know, and I've been checking all day.
The old
to
uncertainty
make sure.
deal.
Yeah. You know, I just wanted to make sure there were no announcements from the Fed or you know, something in the economy that is creating
chaos.
This down 2% chaos day in all the markets today. Because I was pretty bullish this morning. You know, I ran the numbers. I mean, September was about the worst day for the markets all year, all month. You know, the worst, not September isn't a day, it's a month. See how upset I am? September was the worst month we've had all year for the markets. But as of this morning, before the markets opened, the NASDAQ was up about 30% year to date. The S&P was up close to 10%, and the Dow was essentially flat.
Well, now the Dow may actually be below flat because I just checked the markets. The Dow is down now almost 500 points.
Exactly, about a point and a half.
Oh.
So the Dow's down a point and a half for the year. The NASDAQ and S&P are still up for the year. Clearly, with no announcements or any bad economic news, you have to look to Washington for what's going on and uncertainty for what's going on. You know, we had good news over the weekend, we thought, because Congress was able to not shut the government down.
Kind of second solution.
And I thought that would redound well to the, the market on Monday.
Good Monday, did we?
We didn't. We had a neutral day yesterday, pretty much. The problem is this group of far-right congresspeople who have decided that they want to take the Speaker of the House, McCarthy, down, and they don't have a replacement. They don't have what you would normally, you know, normally if you want to shoot the king, you've got a replacement.
Mm-hmm.
But it looks like, you know, they're going to get very close to shooting the king without any replacement. And even if McCarthy survives this today, he is going to be even weaker than he was. And that's saying something.
You know, how important is this? Well, we're talking about, I think, third in line to the presidency.
Absolutely. It's third in line to the presidency. But more importantly, the entire agenda for the House of Representatives is under the control of the Speaker of the House.
Yes.
We've got 6 weeks now, based on the deal that got cut on Saturday night, to come up with a budget and stop the government from shutting down. If there's no leader of the House who can orchestrate that, then we're right back where we were. And it's just,
this is,
I mean, for investors, especially
mess.
Institutional
it's
investors, this is a mess. Now, when we look at the economy in general, all week long, we've had good news.
Yeah.
You know, inflation is down.
The market should be going up if it was somewhat normal in Washington.
Right.
That's asking a lot.
Yeah, we're going to get employment numbers this Friday for September. They're, you know, likely to be, you know, very strong, not as strong as they were at the beginning of the year, but still very, very respectable numbers. We had numbers on the second quarter growth in GDP, and that came in at 2.1%. 2.1% is about the average of what we saw pretty much since the turn of the century. And inflation has dropped down to about the 3.4-3.5% range. The Fed's measure is at 3.3. The more aggressive measure is at around 3.7. But we got good news on job growth, on wage growth. Wage growth annualized for the year is up at 4.4%, which means that wages are rising higher than inflation is rising. So, you know, these are all things that you would think would make the market feel pretty good about what's going on, and they have kind of during the year, but today isn't that day. What we're seeing is I think kind of a psychological effect of having half the country that watches or listens to radio that wants to make things look bad, believing that things are bad. And, you know, when that starts feeding on itself, Bill, and you get days like today.
Well, so what are we going to do?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to take a couple of billion dollars out of my savings account and invest it. What we have to do is, number one, really, as investors, we need to really look at the underlying causes. If nothing fundamental has changed.
How about inflation? We haven't talked about that today.
Well, we kind of did. Yeah. The inflation numbers are not bad. They're not at the 2% the Fed would like them to be. They're just over the 3% that most economists think is okay.
Mm-hmm.
One of the problems with the Fed's actions to control inflation has been that it has affected the bond market. And if I get too wonky here, throw something at me. But, you know, we went from essentially a 0% overnight Fed rate to what is now in the 5% range, which means that if you held bonds or bond funds, the bonds that you hold lose value because the new bonds that are being issued at a higher interest rate. So if you wanted to sell the bond, let's say you had a 2% bond and the current bond is going for 3.5%, you're going to have to sell your current bond at a discount. So the bad news for bondholders, and that's mostly retired people, is that they saw the value of their bonds go down. Now, that evens out over time because the new bonds that are replacing those older bonds as the older bonds mature are being issued at a higher rate. So you stay the course. You know, unless you absolutely need the money, you don't touch that money. If you're a younger person with, say, a 70% or more equity portfolio, then you have to understand that, number one, if you're not going to touch that money, then you look at history and look at the fact that the equity markets have grown at around 11 or 12% annual rate for the past forever. So, you know, you don't look at your portfolio every day. You grit your teeth and stay the course. I hate that term,
yeah,
but that's pretty much what you have to do. So as an investor, you can't be smarter than the institutional investors. Now, you can hire institutional investors who can work for you, you know, not the stockbroker, you know, from, you know, one of the broker dealers, but there are ways of hiring investment professionals, usually through mutual funds or ETFs, and you get some of their expertise. But in general, and that's why I led with dumb money, you know, unless you wind up unknowingly in the middle of a scam, like what happens in dumb money, as a private investor, you're not likely to outperform the market. And if you think you can, you're probably pretty dumb.
Mm-hmm.
So what you should do is you know, go with, I think, low-cost index funds and get very, very well-diversified, because that's what's funds do, and have a good mix of different kinds of index funds. So you can, you know, you can track the Dow, you can track the S&P, you can track some bond funds. There are so many things you can do that cost you a quarter of a point in annual fees, management fees. And if you're kind of doing this on your own, you can find lots of ways to do this for free online. Now, I don't advocate that, but, you know, if you've got a nest egg that you think you want to manage on your own, you can do it.
So the Dow last year ended in, do you recall what we were up? We were up what percentage roughly?
You know, I don't remember. I think it was about 4%.
Okay.
It wasn't a great year. So if you look at the last 2 years, we've really outperformed. We've done very, very well. I thought this year was going to be moderately good year, not counting today.
Well, looking down the road, unless we get some leadership in D.C.
That's exactly what it means.
Okay, Shelley, we will see you next Tuesday.
You bet.
And hopefully it'll be a better day. Thank you, Shelley
Fishman.
Dumb
money.
Dumb money. Oh, my goodness.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Thinking about a river cruise? Let Bon Voyage Travel guide you to choose the perfect cruise to complement your vacation dreams. River cruising has become more popular than ever, and we know you have so many options to consider when selecting the destination, cruise line, and ship. At Bon Voyage Travel, we provide a comprehensive presentation on the top tips for river cruises and have a team of specialists to assist you. Visit bvtravel.com and view our River Cruise 101 presentation today.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. We love green things, and why shouldn't we? Everybody loves green things. If you go by Green Things and need some items for your garden, and who doesn't after this really devastating summer that we had, two huge, I know where we live in the central foothills, I like to call them two 1-in-100-year weather events in a span of 10 days wiped out a lot of the plants. So now is the perfect time to replenish your garden with some fall color over at Green Things. They're in their 53rd year of business. GreenThingsAZ.com over by the Brandy Fenton Park on River. Their sister business is called Zocalo Village. Beautiful imported Talavera pottery. They have imported things from Europe and Latin America. Just a really nice operation as part of their 13-acre site at Green Things. So check it out, ZocaloVillage.com, their website. And again, they are 53rd year of business, and they are open daily. When we do our telephone interviews, our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Dr. Albrecht Clausen is a renowned scholar of medieval history. We're always so delighted to have him back on our program, one of the real bright lights. I've been doing media for over, 55 years, and this guy is right up there as one of the brightest people I've ever interviewed, and I'm glad I get a chance to interview him. We try to get him on every month, every 6 weeks, if he's in town. Dr. Albrecht Clausen is a University of Arizona Distinguished Professor of German Studies, publishing more than 100 scholarly books and hundreds of articles. I think his book reviews are up to close to 3,000 now.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Along with 10 volumes of poetry, he's doing it's haiku, right? Haiku mm-hmm. poetry.
Also,
you
yep.
do that on your Facebook page, mm-hmm. which is fun. There's usually a photograph and then haiku. Let's see, 4 volumes of essays. He's got textbooks, including a handbook of medieval study. He's won many honors, including the Grand Knight Commander of the Most Noble Order of the Three Lions, and he is wearing the medal, because I always talk about it, and I'd like to see it in person. So he's got it around his neck. It's in recognition of outstanding services to German studies. I really like the way the three lions are like.
Yeah.
It's just very mm-hmm. very. Was bestowed upon you in 2017 or something?
That's right, yes.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Good memory there, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Clausen is editor-in-chief of the international online journal titled Humanities. His recent books, these are just a couple, Wisdom from the Middle Ages, that's one, The Secret in Medieval Literature, Alternative Worlds in the Middle Ages, another one, Humanities in the 21st Century, The Meaning and Relevance of Medieval and Modern Literature. And here's the big one, and actually, when this announcement was made in the fall of 2022, he was here on the show. So the Fulbright Scholarship announcement was like fresh. It was like 24 hours from when you were when you were with us.
Yeah.
And then you took off to Cairo, Egypt, as a Fulbright scholar. So, I mean, on and on it goes. I don't know when this man ever sleeps. I mean, he's either on an airplane. He got back from Munich on Sunday. And then, I guess, do you sleep on airplanes? Or
Oh, you do.
Oh, yeah. So you're not working and writing and stuff. But anyway, it's great to have you back with us. Thank you so much.
Bill, thank you so much for giving me this opportunity. I'm always very happy. You do such a great service for the community.
Thank you.
And to have me here on the show is really a great honor. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you. And before you, the last visit, it's been a couple of months, and it's been a really couple of hard months for me. And we talked a little bit about misfortune and the horrible time I was having and Ann was having. But they're doing her 10 weeks of trying to survive with that very rare cancer. But I want to talk a little bit about medieval literature. And you call this an archive of human experience. You say the Middle Ages is a depository of human knowledge, wisdom, happiness, and suffering. Let's start with the suffering part, because that would resonate with me as I try to find a little bit of joy, a little bit of happiness in every day. And it's not that easy, I'm telling you, but go ahead.
Yeah, absolutely, because we all go through this, whether it's love or death or God, the quest for identity, quest for God, we always struggle. We as people always throughout ages and in all cultures, we all struggle for the same
thing. This is nothing new.
No. But, you know, the best way, I think, to come to terms with all those aspects, let's say even love or happiness, is to look at the way how people in the past reflected upon it. It's not necessarily the same. It's different. And yet there is enough parallels that allow us to understand much better and to see it through a mirror. Looking into a mirror, you know, reading, let's say, medieval texts, for example, or could be Baroque texts, it could be texts from the 18th century, it doesn't quite matter, it can be antiquity, it's all fine, but the literary text is kind of distancing from yourself, from your own emotions, and suddenly you see the general perspective. We all have to die. We all have to, you know, and actually the best thing I think about medieval literature is they had the idea of a good death.
Tell me about a good death.
A good death meant that you prepared yourself for death, that you could say goodbye to loved ones, that you confessed all of your sins. You got, of course, the priest's blessing and the last rites. But at least you had a hope and you had a perspective.
You just checked off my wife's good death.
That's exactly
right. You just checked off the boxes.
That's right, exactly. So that, because we all will die. But you know what? I don't think it is good just to postpone the thinking about death, because we all will die. So it's better, and I always tell my students, when is the best time to think about death? Now.
Yes.
Now, when you're
don't
young.
Don't kick the can down the road.
But in essence, when you understand that we are mortal, that we are transient, that we are that we are evanescent, that we are not here forever, means we have to look for the spirit, for the meaning behind our lives. And I think when you can look back at the moment of your death and you know that you made somebody smile, that you made somebody feel happy or thankful for what you have done, I think that's a good death.
Yeah, it's that's so important for me to hear, and I think for our listeners to hear. And as you know, I've been very transparent about this since Ann's diagnosis. I've been very transparent on Facebook.
Yep.
And the reason I have done that, I want people to think about this, think about this subject of our mortality. I want people to hug the one they love, what they're with. I want people to get your affairs in order. Don't say, well, we'll worry about it at
later.
Some other point.
No.
Something can happen.
Absolutely. Actually,
something can happen at any time.
So yesterday morning, for example, at breakfast, I suddenly realized once again what a kind person my wife is. So, I mean, really nice and helpful, communicative, cooperative with me. And so in the morning, I thought, I have just to tell her that. So I normally wouldn't do it, but that's exactly what you need to do. So
thank you for doing that.
Just a little email and had to say, my gosh, you're such a good wife.
Thank you.
So I think now, I mean, just theoretically, now I could die because I've said thank you.
Yes.
You know, if you forget to say thank you, then you are, of course, not approaching death in a good way.
Yeah, and I want to say something about gratitude.
Yeah.
I said here a few minutes ago, it's very hard for me right now to find much joy in my day-to-day living. Now, on the other hand, Dr. Clausen, I can find gratitude. And I'm very the gratitude from the people who have been so supportive. And some people say, well, Bill, is there any silver lining to misfortune? There is. And you know what it is? It's gratitude.
Mm-hmm.
The gratitude, the people who have come forward, the new friends I have made, this may sound weird, but the wonderful appreciation I have had of the 51 years of,
absolutely,
of joy.
Yes.
Of joy with Ann.
Yeah. So gratitude, however, to whom or to what? That's your decision. God or spirits or whatever. But I think love is sort of the bond, the glue that holds us all together. And I think we need to be extremely grateful if we ever have a chance to find this in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, many people don't.
No.
There are lots of single people.
Yes.
And they face an old age alone, which is very, very hard. So we just need to be thankful for what we are given.
All right. We're going to take a break right here. More with Dr. Albrecht Clausen. We'll be talking about a very interesting talk that he's going to be giving about globalism in the pre-modern age. This is a group from the Fulbright Association. We'll tell you about that and more with Dr. Clausen after this.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com.
Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We are also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
The Regional Transportation Authority Plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax. The RTA is collected throughout Pima County and averages more than $100 million in revenue each month. The RTA is the largest annual funder of regional transportation improvements in the region. The RTA is preparing a new 20-year plan for public review. Sign up at rtanext.com for updates.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
This is John Trout. Catch me every weekday morning at 5 before Wake Up Tucson with America in the Morning. Breaking news, weather, politics, and sports on 1030 KVOI, The Voice.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Oh, my goodness. This is the perfect time of year to go over to Silver City, New Mexico. The daytime highs around 70, overnight lows around 50, even into the 40s. Perfect time of year to do hiking. I love New Mexico in the autumn. And it's only about a three-hour drive over to Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. And the elevation, 5,000 to 7,000 feet. That says it all. It is going to be beautiful. That dark blue sky up in the mountains. You're going to have a great time. Check out their website, southwestnewmexico.org. I just looked at it before the show, and there's all sorts of wonderful ideas there, recreation ideas to tempt you into taking that drive over there. It'd be a great weekend getaway. Our live line for our telephone interviews presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. Dr. Albrecht Clausen is with us, renowned scholar of medieval history, Fulbright Scholar as of 2022, University of Arizona Distinguished Professor of German Studies, and he's wearing, because I'm so curious about his medal, the Grand Knight Commander of the Most Noble Order of the Three Lions, and he's brought that and wearing it kind of in my honor, and I appreciate I appreciate you
Absolutely.
Doing that so I could take a up close and look personal look at it. We were speaking in the first segment about medieval literature, really a depository of human knowledge, wisdom, happiness, and suffering. We were talking about a little bit about misfortune. You know, it doesn't have to be a big misfortune for us to maybe think, you know, maybe there's some silver lining. I mean, the car can break down, little things. I'd call that misfortune. Actually, your car broke down, as I recall, the last time you were to be on the show, and we had to do it on our live line. So what happens when the little misfortunes happen
you
to us?
Just handle them. I mean, this is sort of a childlike attitude if you then scream and you think the sky is falling. No, these are the little things we as adults have to take care of. I mean, I hate them. You know, don't get me wrong. We all hate these
You
stuff.
Lose a filling. Or,
gosh.
You know, yet, we all know what the little misfortunes are.
Yeah. But that's life.
But you say,
it is just part of all of human existence. And what is much more important, these are not the material things, but the spiritual things. So I'm thinking of a poem by a Baroque poet, Cruyffius, who laments the horrible devastation of the 30 Years' War, and people have been killed and women have been raped. But then he says the worst is not even the destruction, but that people have lost their spirituality. So, you can face all kinds of traumatic issues, but you need to remember that we are spiritual beings, and your wife would want you to keep going and to observe and aspire for that spirit, because that's what she had, and she has now shared that with you. Now you have two spirits in a way. So.
Thank you for that. I do want to talk a little bit about globalism and pre-modern age. That will be your topic on October 24th. For folks who have heard you here on the radio and they'd like to meet you in person and spend, I think, about an hour with you, right, at 4 o'clock on October 24th. This is fun. It's going to be a talk that is free. It's open to everyone. It's being staged by the Arizona chapter of the Fulbright Association. Now you being a Fulbright scholar, you are you're part of the portfolio.
Yep.
You're right in there. It's at the Life Sciences South Building. It's over on Fort Lowell, 1007 East Fort Lowell. So it's not on campus.
No, that's a mistake.
It is a mistake.
It is. Yeah, it is on Park.
Park.
And 6th Street.
Park and 6th. Okay.
It's just across from the dorms.
Okay, but there's some parking over there that shouldn't be.
Yeah, there should be some. It's not easy. Parking, you know, is always,
always
difficult.
A problem. But people would like to come out. They hear you here on the radio. They'd like to meet you. In a nutshell, what will the the topic be? I know I said it's globalism in the pre-modern age, but what's that entailing?
We all know that we live in an age of globalism, and the common assumption is that globalism started maybe about 1800 with imperialism, colonialism, and stuff like that. I did a major book that appeared in June of this year, in which we, a whole group of scholars and myself, address that this kind of globalism already existed. If you think about Icelandic falcons imported to Egypt, Chinese products imported to Madagascar, Ceylonese food or gems or perfumes imported or exported to Europe.
You're talking about globalism in the medieval ages?
That's exactly
right. But people don't think that happened.
Exactly. And that is the essential point. We are breaking open this paradigm that in the earlier times people were so myopic and so parochial that they didn't understand. No, it's just the opposite.
People thought that they just lived in these villages and they never left their village.
So I have a nice little anecdote. In the year 806, the Baghdad Babylonian ruler Harun al-Rashid wanted to make contacts with the Carolingian emperor Charlemagne. So he sent him as a gift Baghdad, please. You know, Baghdad is in Iraq today. He sent him an elephant.
What?
The elephant had to walk all the way from Baghdad to Tunisia by ship across the Mediterranean, then all the way to northern Germany.
And the elephant was delivered to northern Germany?
Alive, yes.
Alive.
Alive, and still lived for six more years. So whatever that might have entailed, we have such misconceptions. Think about the Icelanders. They traveled and settled in America already in the year 1000. Think about all the Arab travelers. Marco Polo is a market name, of course. Mm-hmm. So I will simply shed more light and break open that paradigm and sort of indicate how history can become much more interesting if we have open eyes and listen to different voices.
Columbus did not discover the Americas.
No.
The Vikings did.
Much earlier.
Much earlier.
And he always thought that he arrived somewhere, but not.
No.
He didn't know anything about America.
How about, let's quickly mention, there are still a few spaces open for this. It's a five-week seminar.
Six weeks.
Could you tell our listeners about it?
Yes, the Humanities Seminars organized by the College of Humanities. And it's these are seminars for the public, small fee, depending on whether you take a six-week course or three-week course or a 10-week course. My course will be 6 weeks and covering the history of medieval masterpieces. So we will look not at the very famous ones. We will look at smaller ones, easy to read and yet ready for big discoveries.
Now, so different, you know, talking about literature or the arts?
Literary texts.
Painting? Or
literary texts.
The visual arts?
I will include some as background. We might will have some music as well as background, but we'll read shorter literary texts that address issues such as honor, love, gender issues, equality, racism. Sounds all very modern, doesn't it?
Yeah, it sounds like, as they say, torn from the headlines of today.
Exactly. But the modern headlines alert us to the fact that similar problems already existed in the past. And when we teach these things, then suddenly the young generation will realize how much the medieval past really matters for us today.
So where could we find out more information about if we'd like to take part in the course?
Yeah, easy. You go to either Facebook or you go to College of Humanities or search simply College of Humanities. Humanities Seminar. Humanities Seminars. They're sending out lots and lots of flyers and you just give them a call and you can sign up.
You know, I wanted to do one of your haikus and I was looking at this one for, I think this was posted for yesterday. Genesis and growth, Life is irrepressible. Let's share the secrets.
There you go.
There you go.
So I was in Hamburg in a beautiful Botanica Garden.
Yeah, there's
took
a beautiful
a lot of
flower
photos.
Here posted
yes.
on Facebook with your haiku.
That's right.
And to be a haiku, it has to be what? Real quickly.
5, 7, 5 syllables.
Wow. All right. You post pretty much one every day on
yep.
Facebook. Always a pleasure, Dr. Claassen. We love having you on the show, and we'll have you again in about a month in November.
Thank you very much.
All right. That'll do it. On behalf of Dr. Claassen, John, who does a great job engineering and producing on the other side of the glass, Bill Buckmaster saying, I hope everybody has a great afternoon.